Random House Audio presents Love by Toni Morrison. Read for you by the author.
Love. The women's legs are spread wide open, so I hum. Men grow irritable, but they know it's all for them. They relax. Standing by, unable to do anything but watch, is a trial, but I don't say a word. My nature is a quiet one anyway. As a child, I was considered respectful. As a young woman, I was called discreet. Later on, I was thought to have the wisdom maturity brings. Nowadays, silence is looked on as odd, and most of my race has forgotten the beauty of meaning much by saying little. Now, tongues work all by themselves with no help from the mind. Still, I used to be able to have normal conversations. And when the need arose, I could make a point strong enough to stop a womb or a knife. Not anymore. Because back in the 70s, when women began to straddle chairs and dance crotch out on television, when all the magazines started featuring behinds and inner thighs as though that's all there is to a woman, well, I shut up altogether. Before women agreed to spread in public, there used to be secrets, some to hold, some to tell. Now, no. Barefaced being the order of the day, I hum. The words dance in my head to the music in my mouth. People come in here for a plate of crawfish or to pass the time and never notice or care that they do all the talking. I'm background, the movie music that comes along when the sweethearts see each other for the first time, or when the husband is walking the beachfront alone, wondering if anybody saw him doing the bad thing he couldn't help. My humming encourages people, frames their thoughts, like when Mildred Pierce decides she has to go to jail for her daughter. I suspect, soft as it is, my music has that kind of influence too. The way mood indigo, drifting across the waves, can change the way you swim. It doesn't make you dive in, but it can set your stroke or trick you into believing you are both smart and lucky. So why not swim farther and a little farther still? What's the deep to you? It's way down below and has nothing to do with blood made bold by coronets and piano keys, does it? Of course, I don't claim that kind of power. My hum is mostly below range, private, suitable for an old woman embarrassed by the world, her way of objecting to how the century is turning out. Where all is known and nothing understood, maybe it was always so, but it didn't strike me until some 30 years ago that prostitutes looked up to for their honesty have always set the style. Well, maybe it wasn't their honesty. Maybe it was their success. Still, straddling a chair or dancing half naked on TV, these 90s women are not all that different from the respectable women who live around here. This is coast country, humid and God-fearing, where female recklessness runs too deep for short shorts or thongs or cameras. But then or now, decent underwear or none, wild women never could hide their innocence, a kind of pity-kitty hopefulness that their prince was on his way, especially the tough ones with their box cutters and dirty language, or the glossy ones with two-seated cars and a pocketbook full of dope. Even the ones who wear scars like presidential medals and stockings rolled at their ankles can't hide the sugar child, the winsome baby girl, curled up somewhere inside, between the ribs, say, or under the heart. Naturally, all of them have a sad story. Too much notice, not enough, or the worst kind. Some tale about dragon daddies and false-hearted men, or mean mamas and friends who did them wrong. Each story has a monster in it who made them tough instead of brave. So they open their legs rather than their hearts, where that folded child is tucked. Sometimes the cut is so deep no woe-is-me tale is enough. Then the only thing that does the trick, that explains the craziness heaping up, holding down, and making women hate one another and ruin their children, is an outside evil. People in Up Beach, where I'm from, used to tell about some creatures called police heads, dirty things with big hats who shoot up out of the ocean to harm loose women and eat disobedient children. My mother knew them when she was a girl, and people dreamed wide awake. They disappeared for a while, but came back with new and bigger hats, starting in the 40s, when a couple of see-there-what-I-tell-you things happened at the shore. Like that woman who furrowed in the sand with her neighbor's husband, and the very next day suffered a stroke at the cannery, the grappling knife still in her hand. She wasn't but 29 at the time. Another woman, she lived over in Silk and wouldn't have anything to do with Up Beach people. Well, she hid a flashlight and a purchase deed in the sand of her father-in-law's beachfront one evening, only to have a loggerhead dig them up in the night. The miserable daughter-in-law broke her wrist trying to keep the breezes and the clan away from the papers she'd stolen. Of course, nobody flat out saw any police heads during the shame of those guilty women, but I knew they were around and knew what they looked like, too, because I'd already seen them in 1942 when some hard-headed children swam past the safety rope and drowned. As soon as they were pulled under, thunderclouds gathered above a screaming mother and a few dumbstruck picnickers, and in a blink, those clouds turned into gate-mouth profiles wearing wide-brimmed hats. Some folks heard rumbling, but I swear I heard whoops of joy. From that time on through the 50s, they loitered above the surf or hovered over the beach, ready to pounce around sunset. You know, when lust is keenest, when loggerheads haunt nests, and negligent parents get drowsy. Of course, most demons get hungry at supper time, like us. But police heads like to troll at night, too, especially when the hotel was full of visitors, drunk with dance music, or salt air, or tempted by starlit water. Those were the days when Cozy's Hotel and Resort was the best and best-known vacation spot for colored folk on the East Coast. Everybody came. Lil Green, Father Hines, T-Bone Walker, Jimmy Lunsford, the Drops of Joy, and guests from as far away as Michigan and New York couldn't wait to get down here. Sugar Bay swirled with first lieutenants and brand new mothers, with young school teachers, landlords, doctors, businessmen. All over the place, children rode their father's leg shanks and buried uncles up to their necks in sand. Men and women played croquet and got up baseball teams whose goal was to knock a homer into the waves. Grandmothers watched over red thermos jugs with white handles and hampers full of crab meat salad, ham, chicken, yeast rolls, and loaves of lemon-flavored cake. Oh, my. Then, all of a sudden, in 1958, bold as a posse, the police heads showed up in bright morning. A clarinet player and his...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?